About to do it like this, about to do it like this.
Easter's here, everyone.
Saturday, March 25th, Lighthouse Christian Church will be hosting our second annual Easter extravaganza. Join us at Lighthouse for a day of fun for the whole family. There will be games for all ages, inflatables for the kids, and great food for the entire family. There's going to be tons of fun and prizes for everyone. Oh, wait. Did we say lots of candy? There's going to be so much candy.
The event's located at our church at 1250 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island, Florida. So mark your calendars now for March the 25th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Lighthouse Easter Extravaganza is almost here. We hope to see you there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin, from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin Radlin, and my lovely wife, Lisa, is joining us on the program again today. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how's it going?
Just wanted to welcome each and every one of you to the program and just let you know we really enjoy sharing the Word of God with each and every one of you. Our goal is that you would, you know, grow in the things of God, that you would be able to mature, that you would be able to hear stories from the Bible and learn how to practically apply them to your lives and just see the Word of God come alive in your life and bless each and every one of you. So that's why we have the program, is so that we can, you know, see God just reaching people in their lives and helping them to grow and mature and become all that He's called them to be. So this week I asked Lisa to put together a topic for today's program. And, you know, yesterday we were talking about the promises of God. And we went through the last part. You know, we were talking about in Jeremiah, and we were talking about Proverbs and, you know, trust in the Lord and that God has a hope
and a
future for us.
Yes,
you know, well, today I want to kind of look at the promise that God is going to love you kind of no matter what. And it's an amazing thing to know that God's not going to reject you. He's not going to push you away because you didn't necessarily do everything that you thought you were supposed to be. So I thought it would be really a good thing to go into and talk a little bit about the prodigal son story and how just the love of God just really changed and transformed his life.
All right, so in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me." So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there he was, wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he thought, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I'm going to perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'"
Verse 22, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother is coming, because he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." You know, this is such a powerful story. You know, the son came back to his father because he was hungry and he wanted food. He was, you know, he's basically starving. His motive wasn't to come back home to be with his father. And I look at that sometimes and I think, man, where have I been in my life at certain times in my relationship with God? When have I, you know, really looked at God and said, what can God do for me more so than what can God, you know, how can I be with him? You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think we can fall victim to that sometimes.
Yeah, the moment we turn to our Heavenly Father, even if our motives aren't pure, God will still embrace us and run to us.
That's so good.
Because he loves us so much. He's not angry. He's loving and he's lavish giving. He never once complained to his son for wasting his inheritance. He was just so happy that he returned.
Yeah, I love that part where, you know, it says that he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. You know what that means? His father was looking for him. You know, I think every day his father would probably go out and look for him. And, you know, when he saw him coming, he was overjoyed. And I think sometimes we think God's mad at us. We don't necessarily have the approach towards God that he is actually looking for us to come and spend time with him. He wants us to be in his presence. And even though we've maybe done things wrong, we've squandered his blessing in our life, and we haven't really treated him the way that we should, he's not upset. You know, in the son, I just love that as he came back to the father, you know, the father had nothing but joy and peace and love for him.
I can kind of relate as a mom. You know, when your kids get older and they get off and they go get married and move out on their own, it's like, I just want to eat lunch with them. I just want to pay for their lunch. I just want to spend time with my kids, you know.
Sure.
Because they're not at the house every day. And when they're at the house every day, I'm like cleaning up messes after them, and I'm upset that I have to pick up wet towels off the floor and all that. But when they're gone, I'm just like, aw, I just want to spend time with them. I miss those wet towels on the floor.
Right. I think we just really have to look at the relationship that we have with God, and we have to come to a new understanding of how God is approaching us. God isn't approaching us from a disciplinary standpoint. You know, he's not looking at us and going, "You didn't pick up the towels. You didn't do this. If you would have only done this, then I will love you." You know, I think a lot of times we think God is his ability to love us is based on if we behave or not, you
right.
know, and I think God already knew we weren't going to behave when he said Jesus was going to be the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. Okay. I think God was well aware of the fact that none of us were going to get it right. And he was going to need to make a way for us to have a relationship with him outside of our own abilities to live right and do right. You know, we see under the old covenant many times that we, if it's like this, it says, if you do this, then God will do this. And, you know, that's kind of an old covenant way of looking at things, because right now we are actually living in a finished work. We are under grace. Jesus has died. He's paid the price for our sins. And every shortcoming, every sin, every weight, every, you know, act of rebellion has been paid for. But it all comes down to, will you give your life to God. And if you will give your life to Jesus, then the Father, through him, has nothing but love for you.
That's so good. We have to realize that we're not righteous by our own works. We're righteous through receiving Jesus.
That's really good. In
2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So that's really amazing.
Yeah, that's like, it's like a trade. You know, your sinfulness for his righteousness.
Yes, I like how in this, your Father in heaven is very rich. Even this story, you see that he had servants.
Yeah.
And he had all this fatted calf. He had all this stuff. So it says, your Father in heaven is very rich, and he has angels to minister him. He brought out the best robe. That represents the robe of righteousness.
Yeah.
And that comes with financial blessings, with healing, with peace, with all the gifts and the blessings that we have.
Yeah, we're not righteous by our own works. And, you know, we are the righteousness of God. And look at this, where it says at the end, it says, in him. You know what I mean? I really, God has been on me this last month or so about being in Christ, not being for Christ, not being with Christ, but being in Christ. There's a difference to being in Christ Jesus than there is to necessarily being for him. Because I can live my life for him, but that's me still doing my own thing for a certain reason. But when I'm living my life in him, we're the same. You know, the same thing that I, you know, have, you know, is Jesus in me. We're one.
Right.
Not me trying to do something for him. It's, we are unity driven. We are built together in Christ.
I mean, when God looks at us, he doesn't see anything but the blood of Jesus covering us.
Yeah, that's powerful.
So the reason we rejoice in the Lord, it's not just in good times. It's things in the natural aren't always going to go the way that we plan. We'll have trials. We'll have circumstances. But we can rejoice because we're covered in the robe of righteousness. In Isaiah 61:10, it says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with all the garments of salvation."
Wow, that's so good.
"And he has covered me with the robe of righteousness."
Yeah, like you said, that's the blood of Jesus making us holy. You know, I say this in communion a lot at the church, that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we have to now, like we were saying yesterday, we have to begin to speak that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We gotta let our words declare that we are who God says that we are. And a lot of times our words don't necessarily reflect that. And we condemn ourselves when really we've been made holy. We've been made righteous. So, you know, the Father put the robe on him, but then he put the ring on him as well.
And it's so cool because the ring is a symbol of love and a never-ending covenant promise. And remember, this is a signet ring. Whenever he wore that ring, people knew that he belonged to that. That was his Father. So he had the authority, whatever his dad had, he had. It's kind of like when you have a power of attorney or something.
Yeah.
You can do anything that person can do because of that signet ring that he was wearing. So it shows that we have authority as a believer to speak healing over people's lives, to speak deliverance, to speak anything that God's promises, we can speak over their lives and over our lives, and we'll see results.
So it's not just that we can receive the promises of God, but we can actually administer the promises of God.
Amen.
With that signet ring, it says now that, you know what, we have the same authority. Jesus said, as I am, so are you in this world, you know, and we have the ability and the authority to take, you know, possession of the kingdom and to distribute the funds of God, to distribute the healing of God, to distribute deliverance and setting of captives free and helping people to come to know Christ in their life, laying hands on them and seeing them filled with the Holy Spirit and sealed once and for all by God in their life. I mean, it is such a powerful thing.
It's like the ring for us is in the name of Jesus. Miracles happen. Cancer is healed. Sickness has to go in the name of Jesus because we have that power and authority. When we say the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus is commanding. You have the ring on your hand to rebuke sickness, and it's Jesus rebuking sickness.
Yeah, it's him. It's not us. It's actually us in him.
The name of Jesus, you know, will deliver you. And the Father put sandals on his feet. The sandals were made of leather and high quality, and it showed prosperity.
Right.
The best robe, the ring, the sandals, they all signify God's grace, his prosperity, his authority, and who we are in Christ.
Yeah, I mean, under the law of Moses, you know, we had to remove our sandals. Think about this. Because we were standing on holy ground, but under grace, the Lord puts the sandals on our feet because we are a son and we have the right to stand in his presence.
That's
Isn't
awesome.
That cool?
I love that. That is so cool.
Yeah, he took our nothing and gave us everything.
That's amazing. It's like the same sandals Jesus wore, we wear.
Yeah, it's what being in him is all about. You know, it's so powerful because, you know, if you're trying to do things for God, instead of trying to do things in Christ, you're just out there in your own strength trying to do things for God. You're going to get burned out. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to lose the stamina. Your strength will fail. But when you're in Christ and you're moving with the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, everything will work together for good. It will all come and just be powerful for you as you begin to administer the kingdom of God.
It's kind of like how we spoke a couple weeks ago at the Great Exchange.
Yeah.
He was cursed so we could be blessed. He was naked on the cross so we could wear the robe of righteousness. We're blessed, favored, and covered with his righteousness. Jesus became sin so we could and received our sin so we can be made whole. We became righteous because we received his robe of righteousness.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Father said to bring the fatted calf so that we could eat, we can party, we can celebrate. You know, that's music, dancing, hanging out, you know. And I believe that's the way it should be at church. You know, when we come back to God and we come to church, we come to hang out, it should be music, it should be dancing, it should be celebration. You know, the Father's house should be filled with music and things like that. You know, the calf was slaughtered, you know, the day that the Son came home, and that kind of represents the bloodshed that we've talked about here at Lighthouse Church over a few weeks ago. We were talking about the blood covenant and what blood represents and the cleansing and the restoration. You know, blood has the power of atonement in it. And, you know, it was really more of a sign because it was Old Testament in the story. You know, it was a sign of atonement for the son's sins.
Right.
You know, the fatted calf was killed and the sins were placed, you know, on the animal.
Right.
And then it would wash away the sins. But it's a type and shadow of us seeing our need for Jesus. And, you know, it's a powerful thing to come under the atonement of the blood of Jesus in your life. In Hebrews, it says, how much more will the blood of Jesus purge your conscience from dead works so that you can serve the living God in your life? You know, you need to know that your past is past and that your present is God's presence.
That's
and
good.
That is, it's really just the way that God is moving in our lives is not through anger. It's not through frustration or disappointment. God is just so in love with each and every one of us. And his desire is to see us prosper and to move through this life and experience all the blessings that he has for us.
I mean, we need to celebrate all that Jesus has done for us. We should get so excited when we're in church, when we think about, or all the time really, but even when we're in church and we're worshiping, we should be so excited that, wow, God's done so much for us.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go to a football game, you can go crazy and put your team gear on and get all excited and scream for your team. How much more for eternal life through Jesus?
Yeah, man, I see people get crazy sometimes at football games.
We need to let the love of God and let his love flow through us because he loves us so much. He personally knows us by name.
Yeah, it's so good.
And just think about it. Heaven throws a party every time a sinner comes home.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what we're talking about today is just the love of God, you know, and you know, the Bible tells us that God commended his love towards us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his life for us. And you know what? Like the prodigal son, many of us have gone astray. Many of us have gone and wanted to do our own thing. And we've taken our inheritance that God has given us and we've taken it for granted. We've said, I want my inheritance. You know what that son really said to his father is, I wish you were dead.
Whoa.
I wish you were dead and I had everything that was going to be mine from you. And you know what? I think many people out there, maybe even some people listening to the program today, have put God in that position of, I don't want you in my life, God. I want to go do my own thing, and I'm just going to reject you. I wish you were dead, and I just want to do my own thing. And what happens is sin is always fun for a season, like we see in this story, but sooner or later, you know, the inheritance runs out, and you find yourself in lack. You know, but then when you look back, you go, well, wait, there was never any lack in my father's house.
Right.
There was never any lack. Even my people that are serving God were not in lack. And I think a lot of times we find ourselves in our lives going, what happened? How did I get here? And maybe you're there today. I just want to encourage you that you're 180, you know. You're 180 from seeing God welcome you back into his kingdom, welcome you back into a life of blessing and prosperity that he has for you. And I would encourage you, some of you need to make a turn. You need to do that 180 and get back to church. Maybe you're just browsing through and you just caught the program today. Man, plug back in. Find a good church. Get in with God's people. Get back into the kingdom and allow God to continue to bless you.
And don't live in shame. Just turn your heart to the Lord because he knows everything you've done. You can't hide anything from him. Just bow before him and say, Lord, you've seen the mistakes I've made. You see the addictions that I'm in. You see the wrong things that I've done. You see the sickness that I'm facing. Lord, I know you've taken it all on the cross. I'm releasing it to you. And just give your heart back to him.
Yeah,
he loves you so much.
Scripture says there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When the son met the father on that road, when he ran back to his dad, he was expecting condemnation. He was expecting his father to pretty much be upset or angry, and he wasn't. You know, he welcomed him back, and he cleaned him up and set him apart and put him back into his position in the kingdom. You see, God is a God of grace and love. He is not looking to beat you up over what you've done wrong. He's going to rejoice. He's going to be excited that you have decided to turn your life back around, to come back to him, and to begin to move back in a direction towards his love. And his love will be there for you in that moment as well as you turn your love back to him. So we hope you guys are really enjoying this. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back here at Turn the Light On.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, everybody, welcome back to the programs. Pastor Kevin and Lisa are here today, and we've been talking about the prodigal son story in reference to the promises of God. And the promise that I feel like we've really keyed in on today is that, you know what, God's going to love you no matter what. That's a promise. And if you will turn your heart back to Him, He will always receive you with gladness and joy. And it's so evident in this story. But I think we have to be careful many times as the church, Lisa, because you know what? We can be like the older brother.
Exactly.
If we're not careful. All of us at the church, when people are turning their lives around and coming back to God, we can kind of get a little religious, get a little weird, and maybe not feel happy about them coming to the church.
Instead, we should be celebrating the fact that Not looking down at the person, but being like, wow, they're back. Thank God. You know,
yeah,
we should be rejoicing
sure.
with them. Like the older brother, he was like upset. Like, hey, you never killed a goat for me. What's all this celebration about? It's like, listen, this guy was lost and now he's found.
Yeah,
we should be rejoicing.
Dead. Now he's alive again.
So we need to be celebrating. We're going to be having new people coming into the church and coming into becoming believers for Christ.
Yeah.
They might not be dressed the way we want to see them dressed,
right.
and their language might not be the best and whatever,
right.
but we're going to accept them the way they are.
They might have a history or a past.
Exactly.
You know, I saw that in the Jesus Revolution movie that we just recently saw, you know, when
really
the
good.
Hippies were coming into the church and the church people were like, we don't want these hippies here. They're ruining the carpet.
They're dirtying our carpet.
You know, and, you know, I think that it was really amazing because the pastor, you know, sat at the door and he began to wash their feet as they were coming in. And I think we got to remember that people are lost. People are out there. They've turned their backs on God and they've run into the world and the world has chewed them up and spit them out, just like this prodigal son. And they're looking for an answer, and the answer is God.
And we need to
He's
embrace
the answer.
Them.
Jesus is the answer for them. So we've got to be ready as the church to receive them back with gladness.
Rejoice
not
with them.
Feel
Show
like,
them
well,
love.
God never did that for me
yes.
or anything like that. It's so evident in this story that God is pleading with this older brother to please just celebrate and be happy for them. It's the way we should be. It's important. You know, your brother was dead and now he's alive. It's the right thing. We should make merry. So guess what? We're going to make merry when people come to Jesus at Lighthouse
That's right.
Church.
We're going to rejoice
And
with
if
them.
You're out there and you need to come turn around and come back to a church, we're at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Lighthouse Church will welcome you. We're so glad you were here with us on the program and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.